The following is Mayor Pugh's statement. Dear citizens of Baltimore, I would like to thank you for allowing me to serve as the 50th mayor. It has been an honor and a privilege. Today, I am submitting my written resignation to the Baltimore City Council.
This is Roughly Speaking Newsroom Edition, the flagship podcast of the Baltimore Sun, featuring stories from our city and our state that you can't get anywhere else. I'm Pamela Wood, and thank you for joining us. With Catherine Pugh's resignation as mayor on Thursday, Jack Young has taken over as Baltimore's 51st mayor after about a month of serving as acting mayor. And it's unclear when we'll see or hear from Pugh next. She initially took leave from office on April 1st as she recovered from a bout of pneumonia. And in the weeks that followed, The Sun reported as the FBI, IRS, and the state prosecutor's office opened investigations that, at the least, are looking into the no-bid contract that Pugh had to sell her Healthy Holly children's books to the University of Maryland Medical System while she served on the hospital system's board of directors. In thinking about Pugh's legacy, how will history reflect on her leadership? To help untangle this question, we have reporters Ian Duncan and Luke Broadwater with us today. And later in this episode, we'll bring in The Sun's opinion editor, Andy Green, who will talk about what we can and what we should expect from the next mayor. Ian and Luke, thank you for joining me today.
Good morning.
Hello.
Now, both of you spent a lot of time covering Pugh over the last several years. Can you start by telling us who Catherine Pugh was before she became mayor, Luke?
Sure. Well, Ian and I actually covered City Hall together for, how long did we do that? Two or three years?
Yeah, a year and a bit maybe, yeah. Something like that.
So, and before that I covered City Hall with Yvonne Wanger and Julie Sharper. But anyway, so I've known Mayor Pugh a long time. But the, At her core, Mayor Pugh is a difficult person to get to know. She was very concerned about image. And I would say a guiding theme of her entire worldview was trying to make the city of Baltimore look better.
My message is about lifting the least of us while we lift all of us. But when I look at the numbers, 18 to 34, the fastest growing populations in 55 years of age and older. And what that says is that when families start to grow and have children, they don't choose Baltimore, but we want them to.
And I remember a key moment during the campaign and the mayoral race when she was asked during a debate, how do we fix the problems of the city and the image of the city? And other candidates answered about fixing the actual problems. And her answer was about forming a team of marketers to have a better image of the city. So I think this whole downfall and scandal really hurts her because in some ways, what she cared most about was being perceived, was how she looked and how the city looked. And this makes both her and the city look so bad that it really cuts her to the core.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, in her election campaign, she was harping on this theme of moving the city forward, kind of a cleaner form of leadership. And that was a lot because her biggest rival was Sheila Dixon, the former mayor, who obviously quit at the end of a corruption investigation as well. And so there was this idea, hey, I'll be this cleaner person.
Right.
I think she didn't have, you know, beyond this sort of idea of image, I'm not sure that you could sort of put a clear sort of ideological label on her. I mean, she was quite a conventional politician in a lot of ways. She'd been in the state Senate for a long time. You know, this was an election after we had the riot and the unrest after Freddie Gray's death, where the city council really changed in its character. And in mayor, we had a quite sort of conventional person in Catherine Pugh. And that really became clear when one of the first things she did was vetoed the increase to $15 minimum wage.
And people didn't understand that I started out as a banker and that I've worked in private industry, that I own a business, and that everything that I've done, whether it is run Strayer Business College as a dean and director, be a city council member, work for William Donald Schaefer, am the majority leader of the Senate of Maryland, and pass more legislation than I think a whole bunch of people put together. It is my belief that everything that I've done to this point has prepared me for this moment. to lead the city in the direction that it should go.
Yeah, during that campaign, she famously ran the picture, or a supporting PAC of hers did, the image of Mayor Dixon in a mugshot contrasted with the future Mayor Pugh wearing pearls. And so it was a symbol to the voters that not only am I more ethical, but perhaps even I'm of a different class.
And now, while the mayor has struggled with this attempt to reshape the city's image, she still had support in some quarters. And this week, we saw even people outside her house with a prayer vigil in the days before she resigned. Why do you think some people still supported her even up until the end?
Yeah, that's right. I think even with, you know, we in the media, we live in a certain realm where we focus on things like ethical questions, and we're very up to date on every development in the news. And I've always thought that if we did a poll of Mayor Pugh, she'd probably be sneakily stronger than we believed. There's a lot of people who think that Mayor Pugh was treated unfairly during this whole thing. I don't know if it's a majority of the city. I'd be interested to see a poll. But and there's a lot of people who also just have sympathy and empathy for someone who's going through a very public crisis and a very public downfall. I mean, here she is. She's holed up in her house. She's obviously very sick. She's obviously under tremendous emotional turmoil, and her dream job and her whole career is slipping away.
This is my dream job. Not Congress, not governor, not, but mayor.
I think, you know, you talk to her supporters and they'll say that she did have a kind of gravitas and that she was able to move quite easily in these circles of kind of business people. And she was able to use those relationships to try and benefit the city. You know, she could bring funding for this anti-violence program, ROCA, that she worked really hard to bring to the city. She came up with a plan to lease the garages and turn that into an investment fund. It was very kind of comfortable in that world of kind of finance and business. And that was obviously potentially a big strength. I mean, we're seeing with these books that it was potentially a vulnerability as well. But I do think that people thought that that was something, a skill that she brought to the mayor's office.
She did a number of things to try to like bring in community. They had the grassroots cabinet meetings where you'd have 50, 60 community leaders come into City Hall, I think every month, and sit down and advise the mayor's senior team on what they wanted to see. They did the crime and grime walks where she went to a different neighborhood, I think every week or every couple of weeks, and met the community leaders and walked the streets and shook hands and saw things that were going on. So there was a lot of outreach, and you can see how people who had met the mayor once or twice or been invited to City Hall might have some loyalty to her.
And now, even as she's resigning in disgrace, really, what do each of you think are some of the key successes or accomplishments she had in her term as mayor?
I mean, I think we've hit on some of them. The monuments, taking those down, that these are the Confederate monuments that Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the previous mayor, had kind of asked for a study, and there's all these questions about what to do. And then after that horrible incident in Charlottesville, Mayor Pugh decided we just have to take these things down and let's do it right away. She won a lot of praise from that, praise from people even who'd been quite critical of her in the past. They did it in the middle of the night. She looked very decisive.
Reading the reports around the statues and the impact that they were having on different communities and so forth, and what was happening around the country in light of the protest, and we thought it was the appropriate thing to do. According to the state's charter, the mayor has responsibility for the health and well-being of her city, and Baltimore deserved to be in a healthy state.
I do think that is kind of an irony that we learned later that the Attorney General's office thought that it was probably illegal the way that she did it. So this thing that was seen as this high point had this kind of asterisk next to it. But that was one
but
episode.
Still, politically, I think that will be one thing people remember about Mayor Pugh, that many previous mayors had dithered on that issue, had allowed these monuments that people really see as racist to stay up in a majority black city. And she, when the time called for it, quickly took them down. I think potentially the hiring of Commissioner Harrison, if he turns out to do a good job, will be a high point for her.
That was a rough road to getting there, though.
It was indeed. You know, her, if she did set the vision for this violence reduction initiative, which attempts to address the root causes of crime in an attempt to bring down crime, it has not necessarily produced the results that people wish it had, but it does set sort of a vision for doing that. And then I guess one more thing I'd say is the neighborhood investment fund they created, which is a $50 million or plus fund that would direct investment towards neglected neighborhoods.
I think, though, I mean, we have to be honest that a lot of this stuff might just not matter or might not really be remembered. I mean, she's resigned, clearly under pressure, clearly under a lot of suspicion of wrongdoing, although nothing's been proven, and maybe that's what will shape her record. Will she be charged by the feds or by some state prosecutor? If she is and she's convicted of something serious, everything else about her legacy probably doesn't really matter and will be forgotten. If she's not, and if it turns out that the investigations didn't really find any criminal wrongdoing, maybe she's able to sort of look back and say, yes, here are these things I did and they matter, and I left the city at least in some ways better than I found it.
And I guess the bigger thing, and fair or unfair, every mayor of Baltimore is judged on the crime rate and specifically the homicide rate. And the fact that that did not go down under her tenure and in fact went up and stayed persistently high will not, you know, that's not going to be something that people look back on with high regard. I mean, even Sheila Dixon, people look back on her tenure, which she did resign after being criminally charged in a scandal, but they say, well, she lowered the murder rate. And Mayor Pugh doesn't have that in her arsenal.
Well, time will tell, and we will see what happens next. Ian and Luke, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your insights today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this short break. Like what you're hearing? Consider subscribing to the Baltimore Sun at baltimoresun.com/subscribe to experience all that our newsroom has to offer. Right now, you can get unlimited digital access to our reporting for an introductory offer of just 99 cents per week for 4 weeks. Because in Baltimore, you can't afford to not stay up to date. Thanks for listening. Now back to our program. Welcome back to Roughly Speaking. With us now is Sun Opinion Editor Andy Green. Thank you for coming on the show, Andy.
My pleasure.
So now we have a new mayor of Baltimore, Jack Young. And Andy, tell me a little bit about what we can expect from Mayor Young as he moves forward.
Well, we have the advantage of having seen him more or less in this job for the last month. He's been very visible. He's been out and about in the community quite a bit. You know, they send us his daily schedules every morning, which Mayor Pugh did not do. And he has, I think, generally been getting pretty high marks for exuding a sense of kind of calm, saying, okay, the city is still running. He has, I think, certainly up to this point, more or less very consciously tried to just keep things going as if Mayor Pugh was still there. How much that will change now, it's hard to say. You know, he's already made some moves in terms of switching up staffing in City Hall, getting rid of some Pugh associates, putting in some of his people. You know, I would expect that to accelerate a lot now. You know, I think he is, you know, has already put out some feelers in the community to try to find qualified people, whether from with government experience, nonprofit experience, business experience, to come and help work for him over the course of these next 18 months.
I can't do it by myself. The council can't do it by itself. The police department can't do it by itself. I want to clean up the city, I want to reduce crime, and we're going to work with our state and federal partners to make sure that we get a handle on crime in the city of Baltimore.
But, you know, he will face the same issues that every Baltimore mayor does. You know, crime, number one, first and foremost, dealing with schools, with blight, with drug addiction, with, you know, all of the problems that mayors have struggled with all this time. But he'll do it with the disadvantage of a very short time period and also not having run for this office. He doesn't have the kind of mandate that a mayor typically does. You know, he's a kind of an unexpected mayor.
And now, as this was going down, Mayor Pugh resigning on Thursday afternoon, we actually didn't see or hear really from Mayor Young. Where was he and what was he doing?
Yeah, he was, and as we're recording this, still is in Detroit for a conference that had been scheduled. I wrote a piece yesterday kind of saying, what the heck, Jack Young, come back to Baltimore, please. It was a very unsettling scene on Thursday in that, you know, we have not seen or heard from Mayor Pugh in a month. The last we had heard from her attorney was that she was so, you know, physically, emotionally ill, distraught, that she was not, in his words, lucid enough to make a decision about whether to resign, which is kind of an astonishing thing to say. So the only sign we had of her yesterday was her signature on a piece of paper. This was not announced by the city solicitor or anything. This was announced by her personal lawyer. There were no city officials in the room when this happened. And here we have Jack Young, who automatically became the mayor, not present either. It was all a little unsettling. And he said, hey, I've got plane tickets to come back on Sunday. I don't want to waste taxpayer dollars to change my flight. You know, I think if he called up Southwest and said, hey, I just became mayor, they might waive the ticket change fee. I don't think they even have ticket change fees. But anyway, who knows what kind of ticket he's got. I think, you know, given the uncertainty, given the drama of the situation, it would be really nice to have him here in the city just to give that reassuring presence. And, you know, look, there was a massive multiple victim shooting overnight. The city's problems go on, and it would certainly be reassuring to have him here.
And we may not see him now for a few days.
Yeah.
So Jack Young is going to be the mayor for the next year and a half or so. He previously said when he became acting mayor that he wasn't going to run.
And even as of after Mayor Pugh's resignation has said that again, you know, other people are saying, well, you know, if he continues to do well in this job, there may well be a draft Jack movement. You know, at least so far, I think it has been very helpful to the city that he said from the beginning, I'm not running. I want to be the city council president, because it takes personal ambition out of this. Jack Young has very clearly been able to say, look, I'm just doing this for the city to keep things moving. And I think it probably actually also helped Mayor Pugh come to the point where she would resign, because it's not like there was a usurper here.
Right.
We'll see how things play out. But there are certainly a lot of other people who are interested in this job. One person, Tiru Vignaraja, has already announced that he's running. He ran unsuccessfully for a state's attorney, is a former prosecutor, former deputy attorney general. You know, I expect to see a whole lot more. I mean, there are a lot of names you hear out there.
Sure. Yeah. Who are some of the other people floated?
Obviously, Sheila Dixon is a big question mark. The former mayor, who also resigned in disgrace, ran unsuccessfully again against Mayor Pugh in 2016 and came very close to winning in the Democratic primary. Whether she will run or not is a big question, but certainly I think there are a lot of people who are still very loyal to her and would like to see her in the race. Other names, Ben Jealous, who ran unsuccessfully for governor, has moved to the city, bought a house here. T.J. Smith, the former Baltimore police spokesman, who's now the spokesman for Johnny Olszewski in Baltimore County, also bought a house in the city recently. You hear his name a lot. He's out and about in the community still a great deal. Brandon Scott on the city council, I think, is almost certain to run. Bill Ferguson, the state senator, has floated the possibility that he would. But then there are a lot of other names of people you hear out there, like Senator Mary Washington, who unseated Joan Carter Conway in the last election. Marilyn Mosby, the state's attorney, could get into this. So could her husband, Nick Mosby, probably not both of them.
No, that would be interesting,
that would
right?
be interesting. You know, there are a number of good young people in the city's legislative delegation, you know, Brooke Learman, Antonio Hayes, Corey McRae in the state Senate. Who knows, Maggie McIntosh, now that she's not going to be Speaker of the House, perhaps this will be something
interesting
for her to do. So, you know, there are a lot of very qualified candidates out there. Jill Carter, who shouldn't forget her, whose legislation helped spark this whole thing, her legislation dealing with the University of Maryland Medical System Board. I think it's going to be probably another very crowded Democratic primary.
So voters certainly will have a lot of choices. Now, one of the things we hear, especially if you listen to talk radio, is oh, we've had generations of Democratic control in the city, and that's the problem, some people think. Is there any talk from Republicans, Green Party, anybody else about putting forward any candidates?
I haven't heard any names. I mean, the Republicans always do run someone for mayor. The Green Party has been in the last few elections, too. You know, most likely you would expect the Greens to maybe have success with a city council seat or something first. And there was actually a strong Republican candidate in the Southeast Baltimore district that Zeke Cohen won. So there are some pockets out there. But, you know, realistically, it's very unlikely, I think, that one of them would succeed to be mayor. It'd be probably more likely that someone could run as an independent and that might be successful. But even so, I think it's a difficult thing in a city where the voter registration is 9-1 for the Democrats.
Right. Now, what do you think of all of these potential candidates, whoever's going to be successful, what kind of message do they need to give to voters? What are Baltimore City residents expecting out of their next mayor?
First and foremost, not a whiff of scandal or corruption or ethical question. I mean, for the love of God, people, let's hope that that is qualification number one at this point. Two, you know, I think we are in need of someone who's got a boldness of vision, but also the political and managerial skills to make it happen. You know, the last election in 2016, coming a year after the unrest after Freddie Gray's death, I think people really had a lot of hope and ambition that this would be an opportunity for the city to turn the corner. We got a lot of change on the city council, a lot of young, talented, ambitious people taking over there. Mayor Pugh was not quite in that mold. She was an experienced, established politician and seemed in a way maybe a little bit of a transition figure from one generation of city politics to another. That transition is now happening faster and more dramatically than we might have expected. So, you know, I think we might be in the mood for somebody who is a little bit more bold and aggressive in his or her policy ideas for the city. But, you know, there's still a need for the city to handle the basics in a way that it has struggled to, you know, getting the streets cleaned, the trash picked up, getting the police to respond when you call, and that kind of thing. That there's needs to be a real focus on management in this city too. You know, it's a difficult combination to get. That's, I think, why you hear people talking now about whether we need to change the structure of the mayor to put a little bit less in that person's basket and maybe have them a city manager or something like
right.
that to handle things like a county administrative officer does in Baltimore County, for example. That's a long way off. But, you know, I think we need a pretty unique combination of things from our next leader.
And we will certainly be reporting on whoever and everyone who jumps
yep.
in the race. Andy, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your insights.
Yep, my pleasure.
And that wraps up this week's Newsroom Edition. Thank you for joining us. For more audio from the Baltimore Sun, head over to baltimoresun.com/roughlyspeaking or find us wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to check us out every Friday. And as we say each week, as times change, the need for quality journalism doesn't. So please consider subscribing to the Baltimore Sun at baltimoresun.com/subscribe. For producers Hallie Miller and Steve Early, thanks again, and we'll see you back here next week.